So good to worship with you and sing those songs. By the way, I open my folder and all of a sudden I see coloring pages. So thank you. The coloring pages are coming in pretty well. If you haven't heard or you're new, we're coloring for nursing home residents, and so I haven't told this story recently, but we do a Christmas program every year for Monticello, and this year we can't. And so that's when I started saying, what can we do? We got to be able to do something. We can't do nothing. And so after a 20-minute brainstorming phone call, we came up with the coloring idea. But it reminded me of one of my buddies in Monticello. We did a Christmas, and he said, come here, I want to show you something. I'm like, okay. I want to take you to my room. Okay. So he takes me to the room. He said, this is the Christmas card you gave me last year. I'm like, you've kept this Christmas card all year. Yeah, you gave it to me last year. And so I wanted to show it to you. I'm like, thank you. It just reminded me that it's little things like that that really do make a difference. And so when you color those pages for Thanksgiving, we're going to make sure Monticello and Barnabas Acres get those. And then if you have a loved one that's in a nursing home and you want us to mail it to them, we'll do it. And so anyway, it's the least we can do. Well, turning your Bibles to Romans. Ruth starts with an R. Good. A laughter broke the ice. Okay, so we got this 5-week journey through Ruth, and we're calling it Ruth, God's kindness. I've chosen the word kindness because it comes from this Hebrew word hesed that we talked about 2 weeks ago that literally means God's faithful love, his kindness, his steadfast love, his devotion, his loyalty, his love and mercy. It's an incredible word, probably arguably the most important word in the Old Testament, similar to agape in the New Testament. And we saw a couple weeks ago that in Ruth, God's kindness is active, compassionate, loyal. I've been sharing some Old Testament verses that have this word hesed in it. There's 240 to choose from, so we could go for a long time. But just two today, two really familiar ones. I think almost all of us would know it once I got going. How about Lamentations 3, 22 and 23? The steadfast love, hesed. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never stops, never ends. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, we're going to find out that God's mercies are truly new for Naomi and for Ruth, and that God is faithful, and his kindness towards them does not end. What about one of our favorite psalms, Psalms 23, verse 6 says this, surely goodness and mercy, hesed, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, the psalmist is saying God's goodness, his hesed, his mercy, his kindness, his compassionate, his loyalty, his faithfulness pursues, follows the psalmist every day of his life. I mean, God's goodness is following him all the time. So we're going to see that God does pursue Ruth and Naomi with his kindness. They're not left out by themselves. God pursues them with his kindness. So we're going to look at chapter 2 and just calling it simply provision. It's God's kindness, his provision towards these two. And we're going to discover and be reminded that God also provides for us. But I wanted to do one more thing. These two are both widows, and they've lost everything in that particular culture. that meant they had no provider, they had no protector, they had no inheritance. Essentially, they've lost everything. Psalm 68:5, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. I love that. Just, there's so many verses in the Old Testament in particular, but also in James and other places where God talks about his care for widows and orphans. And he's the father of the orphan, and he is the protector of the widow. I love that. Isaiah 54, 4 through 5. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will not forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. In that culture, there was shame attached to being a widow. Isn't that crazy? Something out of their control, but still there was shame there. But God says, I will remember your reproach and remember it no more. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. So God declares that he will take on widows as if he's their husband and provide for them. And that's exactly what he does in the story of Naomi and Ruth. So we're going to see that God not only provides for them, but he provides for us. We're going to be reminded. You know that. But don't you know, every once in a while, we just need to be reminded, because the cares of the world creep in and we forget. So we're going to see three things this morning. Number one, God provides for basic needs. Look at verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite, if you've forgotten, she's from Moab, we're constantly reminded. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. So she sat out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come into the part of... Stop for just one second. I don't want to add anything to the Bible. Don't dare add anything. But, you know, I want to put these quotes around just happened. You know, there are a lot of things that just seem to happen. And maybe God's in it. And it's not just happening, but God is directing it. Okay, let's pick up. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she is the young Moabite woman who came back from Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. So before Ruth even meets Boaz, the author introduces us in verse 1 and says, now Naomi had a relative who was a husband, a worthy man. He was of the clan of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. You're like, okay. It's like the writer saying, pay attention. We got a new character. He's significant. He's important. And you're going to find out why in a little bit. So Ruth is going to go out and glean. She asked Naomi for permission to glean. I've already talked about this once, just recently, a couple weeks ago. But this law of gleaning, my favorite law in the Old Testament, although there's 10 really good ones in Exodus. But this law is so awesome because it's a compassionate law. It's called the law of gleaning. Leviticus 23 22 says this, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner." So it's harvest time, or just past harvest time. In those days, they were told, don't bring in all of the harvest. Around the edges, leave some of the grain to be harvested for the poor, for the traveler. And so it was a compassionate law, one way God used his people to take care of widows, to take care of those who were traveling. It reminds me that we probably should always have a little excess money, excess food, excess clothing, excess time. Who has more of that, right? To share with someone in need. Have something in the pantry, a little extra on the stove that we could take to a neighbor who just came back from their first chemo treatment, or a friend who just lost their job. We ought to have something extra that we can share with somebody. What a good day to introduce to you our World Hunger Offering. And in the foyer, there's little bread basket kind of banks. And so they're designed to collect your excess change. Hardly any of us have change anymore. I have more change now that Tori's on her own. So I never could fill up a change jar in the past, but now it just I can fill it up. And so anyway, you're also welcome to put in bills. You're also welcome to write checks for World Hunger. But let me tell you, 100% of what you give to that offering goes to hunger needs. There's no administrative cost. 80% goes overseas. 20% stays in the States. And so it's just one more way to say we're going to give a little of our excess to help those in need. And so prayerfully consider giving to our World Hunger Offering. So, also thought of a pretty familiar passage, just to see how Ruth was accepted in that field, and she was able to glean starting early in the morning. We're going to find out she goes till late, you know, till evening. But Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and this portion starts in verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? Is not the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather the barns into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what we shall eat or what we shall drink, what we shall wear, for the Gentiles seek after these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things we worry about, they'll be added to you." I love praying Matthew 6 for myself, but I find myself praying it for other people, you know, in the hospital, or there's a situation, and can pray something like this: "Lord, help Fred not be anxious. Remind him that you take care of the birds, you take care of the lilies, and he is so much more valuable to you. You send the rain to refresh the earth, but you're his prized possession." That was kind of like a symbol, you know, just it's all good. Just saying, yeah, that's an amen. So how much more valuable to him, to you, than birds or flowers? Help him not to be anxious. Help him to trust that you're going to take care of him. In Philippians 4:19, what does it say? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So does that mean we get everything we want? No, of course not. He gives us what we need. Are there times where we feel like we're getting a little less than we need? Probably, and that's where our faith is stretched. But he tells us that he cares about us more than birds and sparrows, and they don't worry about anything. God provides basic needs. Second, God provides favor. Look at verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes? You should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner." But Boaz answered, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I'm not one of your servants." Let's stop for a moment. What a beautiful picture of kindness. Ruth was not only able to glean what the law required, she was also given protection. The young men in the field were told, "Don't you touch that woman." She was given water, the same water that Boaz's servants, his reapers, drank, she could drink. And why was he so kind to her? Maybe it was his disposition. I think he was probably a very kind man. I mean, he did follow the law of gleaning, did want to help the poor as God commanded. But he explains it this way. "I have heard everything you've done for your mother-in-law and how kind you've been to her, and I want to repay that kindness." And so she says something that struck out with me because she said it twice. She said that she found favor. Well, first she asks a question. "Why have I found favor in your eyes when I'm not one of your servants? I'm a foreigner." And then in verse 13, she declares, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to me." So what does it mean to find favor? One website I read said this: the best definition of the word favor is demonstrated delight. When you take favor in somebody, you're delighting in them, but you're also demonstrating your delight in them. The favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. When we favor someone, we want to be with him or her. We delight in him. We connect with her in a way we don't connect with everyone. We usually favor people who also favor us. In the same way, God shows favor to the ones who delight in him, connect with him, give honor to him. Isaiah 66:2 says, "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." God looks with favor on the humble, the contrite, and those who take God's word seriously. I love praying this prayer for people. I mean, you can pray when you come up against someone in authority, or a friend comes up with someone in authority, you can pray for God to show favor or that they might find favor with that person in authority. This is what I mean. For the couple who is trying to adopt, we might have some examples in our church. I think I prayed this prayer for John and Val for sure. God help them to find favor with the social workers and the social work system and with the judge they stand before. Because they're the ones who make the final decision, so God grant them favor with that judge. Of course, you might be before a judge for any number of reasons, so I'll pray that prayer for you too. Or to the person seeking a raise or a promotion and needs it. God, may they have favor with their boss and the people making decisions, because, Lord, you know with their finances they need this and they've been working a long time at that company. May they find favor with their boss. Or maybe to somebody who's found themselves in desperate shape. They've lost everything, and our church has helped them all we can, or at least initially we've done some things, and then God, help them to find favor with other people who can come alongside them and help them. And of course, we can always pray the prayer, God, thank you for showing favor to me. Thank you for showing favor to us. Listen to the favor that Boaz continued to show Ruth. I'm going to pick up with verse 14. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. She gets invited to supper. So she sat beside the reapers and passed to her roasted grain. Sounds like a delicacy. And she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed the young men, saying, let her glean even more among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her. You see the favor she's finding? She not only gets the bare minimum of grain, but she gets invited to supper. She has leftovers. They go out in the field while she's eating, I'm assuming, and they begin pulling out from the sheaves some of the best stuff from the middle and put it out there so she can find it. That's the kind of favor she was finding with Boaz, that God was shining on her and Naomi. God provides basic needs, favor, and lastly, a redeemer. Excuse me while I come down here and get a drink of water. Anybody else got a little bit of a scratch because of allergies? God. What? Well, I know my body pretty well, and this happens every year, so please don't leave the building. Okay. Let's pick up with verse 17, because we find that there's a redeemer introduced. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man whose name I worked with today is Boaz. Okay, by the way, before we read any more, Naomi is a bitter woman. She's lost everything. She's lost her husband, her sons, her inheritance. She has no provider, no protector, no hope. But as we read this next little line, I want you to begin to hear this glimmer of hope in her voice. I know it's my voice, and I know I'm reading into it, but just hear this glimmer of hope. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." We need to probably talk about that a little bit, but apparently the Lord is being kind to both the living and the dead through Boaz. Now, that sounds strange that you could be kind to a dead person, but just hang on to the story for a minute, because that's what Naomi says. This may be happening. God is being kind to both the living, Naomi and Ruth, and the dead, her deceased husband. Let's pick up with the second half of verse 20. Naomi also said, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Hear the hope? A redeemer. He might be the one. And Ruth, the Moabite, said, "Beside, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, and gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So God provided basic needs and favor through this redeemer, Boaz, for a whole season. It wasn't just one time. It was through a whole season. A season of emptiness was now filled with God's provision, God's favor, and a redeemer. Now, there's a new law, not a new law, an old law we need to be reminded of, that's being introduced here. It's a Levirate law. It's spelled out in Deuteronomy 25. I call it the brother-in-law rule, you know. So here it goes. Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 7. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not marry outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother. Thus his name will not be blotted out of Israel. And if the man does not wish to take her brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband." That'll all come out in the next couple weeks as we think about more about what it means to be a kinsman redeemer, a family redeemer. So, if a man dies, the closest brother to the man was supposed to marry his sister-in-law, and the first child would then go to the man who died as his heir, and thus redeem the situation. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday. That's next Sunday's sermon in detail. But as we wrap up this message, I want to remind you, we're just introduced to this Redeemer. We're going to find out more about what Boaz does and the cost of what Boaz has to do. We'll talk about in two Sundays. But I want to remind us briefly, and we'll talk more about it next week, that God provided us a Redeemer to redeem our situation. Of course, that's Jesus Christ who redeemed us from our sin and from our death. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31 says, "And because of him you were in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He became our Redeemer. So all who will turn to the name of Christ because of his work on the cross are redeemed from their sins and provided a glorious inheritance. So we'll talk more about that next week. God does provide basic needs, favor, and a Redeemer. So how do you respond to this story of Ruth? I know it's beautiful. We can just say, oh, that's pretty, and go on. But I wonder if you might think about God's kindness towards you and how God provides for you. And maybe in whatever situation you find yourself in, we can remind one another not to be anxious. You are more valuable than birds. I know you know that. You're more valuable than flowers and trees and shrubs and mountains and canyons. They're beautiful, but you're more valuable. God sends rain to take care of the whole earth, but he notices you even more. And can you trust him to take care of your basic needs? And thank him. As we move into this time of thankfulness, the season of Thanksgiving, I know it's still a little ways off. Some of you won't let us even talk about it till we get to November. I'm okay with that. Maybe you've got a situation where you're up against someone in authority and you need to pray for God's favor or for God to change their heart. And you might find favor with them. And maybe there's someone here who's never said, I need to be redeemed. I'm lost in my sin. I'm dead in my sin. I need to be redeemed. And just like Ruth and Naomi had a redeemer, I need Jesus. And this season, you say yes to following Jesus. Let him redeem you and give you a beautiful inheritance and a new name and a new status. Let him shower his favor on you. So, where are you today? Are you anxious? Are you up against someone in authority? Have you drawn near to God? He wants to show you his favor. He wants to provide for you. So I think we need to ask, seek, and knock continually. Draw near to him that he might show favor to us. So it is a beautiful story of how God provides for two widows, but it's a great reminder of how God provides for us. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for this story. That does remind us that you took care of two widows. What a beautiful story how Boaz took care of Naomi and Ruth. And we're going to see more of how that unfolds. We're just introduced today that he is a redeemer. And we begin to get a glimmer of hope in Naomi's voice. And as chapter 3 and 4 unfold, she finds that hope in this kinsman redeemer, and her situation is redeemed. But in the waiting, she's provided for. You show favor through Boaz, this person in authority that helps feed both of them. Lord, this story is so beautiful, but we just have to personalize it. We cannot live a life just full of anxiety. We must trust you. Anxiousness will come. Fear will come. We must trust you. And then, Lord, I pray on the flip side, there might be some folks in this room who have some excess something. Excess money, excess food, excess clothing, excess furniture, excess lots of things where we could help a neighbor. someone who just had a fire, someone who just lost a job, someone who just lost a family member, someone who just started chemo. And Lord, we can have compassionate kindness to them, pointing them to you, because your mercy and your hesed, your goodness, your faithfulness never stops. Thank you for pursuing us with your goodness, your kindness. So, Lord, now as we sing this last song, help us to sing from our hearts, just grateful, Lord, that you crown our year, that you crown our lives with your goodness.